Radio for the West Midlands.
And here's another good story. This time last week, we heard the amazing story of Colin Pheasant. He collapsed at the end of a park run in Walsall Arboretum. His life was saved by volunteers and runners who performed CPR on him. I spoke to Colin's sister Vivian, who thanked those who helped him.
A number of people ran to his assistance. Got a lot of people to thank for that. Gary Jenkins, the run director, he called paramedics. It was Louise Webster. She was the first person to him. She cleared his airways because he was choking. Then Glenn Mallon, the man in the pink suit, I believe, he gave him CPR. There was a gentleman called Stuart Gosell and Phil Sawyer.
So a whole lot of people. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I've been by his side for most of the time. He's obviously he was in an induced coma, and it took almost 10 minutes, I believe, to bring him round. They were working on him for around about 10 minutes, so he's lucky to be alive. He can't believe it's happened. I keep telling him he's had a heart attack, and he said, "I can't. I've got to run on Sunday." So you know, he doesn't know what's happened to him. Basically, he's got a little bit of short-term memory loss, which I think is to be expected.
Well, after the show last week, I got an email from Malcolm Robinson. Last year, he had a cardiac arrest on a street in Digbeth, and his life was saved by a passing motorist who pulled over to help. Now, Malcolm was so grateful, he decided to create a group called CPR Counts, which teaches people how to do CPR. And last night, our reporter Rob Trigg went along to one of the sessions in Streatley.
I was walking down a street in Digbeth, near the centre of Birmingham, in April 2017, and I was with my wife. And suddenly I just keeled over on the pavement without any warning. She thought I'd tripped over, but it became apparent very quickly that I was unconscious and not breathing. And she didn't know what to do. And a crowd of people who were around that time gathered round, and again, nobody offered any help to me. And then the next thing I know, several days later, I'm waking up in hospital.
And you are here, we're having this conversation, simply because a passerby knew first aid. You must feel indebted to this person.
Yeah, well, that lady turns out to be a practice nurse from a GP's who used to work at the National Heart Hospital in London. So I couldn't have had a better person. She'd actually done it on real patients in the past in the hospital. And she had the knowledge and the confidence to take control of the situation.
My name is Michael Bennett. I'm employed currently as the lead resuscitation officer for Birmingham Community Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust.
And Mike, we've got people behind us practicing on Annie dolls, mouth to mouth, going through what would happen if it was a heart attack. How important are these sessions?
Absolutely vital to members of the public. The vast majority of cardiac arrests don't happen in the hospitals. For that reason alone, it's members of the public that are going to be the ones involved in delivering those interventions that could make the difference.
What have you made to tonight's session?
I think this acronym, Dr. ABC, I think that's really useful. I've learned again how to put into the safe position, which I sort of vaguely knew, but I couldn't really remember.
Just learning how to do CPR, making sure I know the process that if in a case it happens in real life, I know what to do.
Well, I actually had a heart attack 6 years ago. I think it's just given us a reason to come, so if it happens again, then either my son can perform some sort of CPR, my wife can, if in the emergency, and also I know how to do, because I've got no first aid training whatsoever, so from this now, you can see the benefits of even just doing that, just something simple.
Simon Galley is a first aid trainer from St John's Ambulance and joins us now. Simon, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How difficult is it to perform CPR? Because I must admit, I did enjoy a little burst of the Bee Gees staying alive during that report from Rob Trigg. So how vital is it knowing Bee Gees songs?
Well, it's not massively vital to know Bee Gees songs, although it can be useful. The theory is that the Bee Gees song Staying Alive gives you the right rate of compressions and the right number of compressions to perform when you're doing CPR. You don't have to sing it out aloud. That's entirely optional.
It's surreal. How difficult is it then to actually perform this CPR?
It's not particularly difficult. Once you have had a little bit of training, and it is just a little bit of training, the actual process of performing CPR is relatively easy. I think the other really important thing to remember is that the second that you phone an ambulance, the ambulance service will also give you really good instructions over the phone as to how to do CPR. So the important thing is to do it, to make an attempt to actually perform CPR on that person.
Now, I think there's a certain British reserve, of course, about sort of touching strangers and things. But is it a risk, isn't there? We probably worry that we might do more harm than good, because you have to be fairly firm with the old CPR, don't you? You can't just sort of pussyfoot around.
Yeah, of course you do. And I suppose the way that I've always looked at this is that, you know, at that moment in time, the person's heart has stopped. They're not breathing. They are clinically dead. So you can't really do much worse. You can't hurt them particularly any more than they're actually, you know, suffering at the time. So, the important thing is to have a go, is to make that attempt. We're not going to harm them further. You know, they've already died. We can't do much worse than that.
Fair enough. Now, someone at the session mentioned, was it Dr. ABC?
Yeah.
What's that?
So this is a mnemonic that we use, particularly in sort of healthcare, and all that stands for is danger, response, airway, breathing, and circulation. And those are the five things that we want to do when somebody has stopped breathing. It's essentially a check to make sure that somebody is either conscious or unconscious, whether we're in any danger ourselves, and then we start looking at the airway and the breathing and the circulation. It's the letters that we use to basically to train people how to do CPR.
What's the percentage, you think, of people who actually are trained in CPR? Because really it should be something that's taught in schools, so therefore, you know, in a generation's time everyone will be able to do it.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the fantastic things that St John and the Red Cross and the British Heart Foundation have been doing over the past couple of years, which is trying to get first aid and CPR and the use of defibrillators on the school's curriculum. And fantastically, we've actually managed to do that through a lot of hard work by a lot of people. By 2020, it will be on the national curriculum, and young people and children will be taught how to do first aid, which is incredibly important, because that isn't something that they get at the moment. There are some stats out there, and it's something around 30% of adults wouldn't perform CPR if they saw somebody suffer a cardiac arrest. And those were figures that were released yesterday to mark the National Restart a Heart Day. Which was a St. John campaign, along with, again, the British Heart Foundation, the Resuscitation Council, the British Red Cross, Yorkshire Ambulance Service, Greater Manchester Fire and Rescue Wow. Service and ambulance trusts all over the country, about training up to 200,000 people in CPR yesterday.
That's brilliant. Simon Galley, thanks very much indeed for talking to us from St. John's Ambulance. So there we are. You don't have to know Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, but it helps as far as the rhythm is concerned.